It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That might have been the most love I've seen John Lopez get for being... a word nerd, being pedantic. Everybody was like, no, it is a shutout.
Yes. I should have known. Thank you, people.
Baseball is the
place. Shout out to the baseball people out there. Mm-hmm.
Baseball
Seam
is
heads,
the place.
Baby.
100%.
Seam heads.
We in that space. We are in that space. All right. We're 3 weeks, 3 weeks and a day out from the first round of the
it's coming
NFL
up quick.
Draft. 22 days. April 24th. Is when the lights will turn on and the Titans will officially be
Green Bay
on the clock. That's such a
isn't that weird
thing, man.
Yeah.
It's in Green Bay.
I mean, that's one of the places where I'm just like, man, I still don't think they should be, you know, banning about
it. Might be 30 degrees
draft. It could be.
It's
it
April. I mean, that, there's still cold weather, you know that, Figgy.
Yeah.
It might be 30 degrees and raining out up there.
Yeah, yeah. More power to the people that, like, just in general, that are like, I like going out to the draft. Like, again, more, you know, different strokes for different folks. And if that is, like, the level of excitement that people have, absolutely do that. But I don't know that I'm in that space. However, things like this do get me excited, particularly in the mock draft space. Let's do a little bit of a mock draft check-in. This really caught my attention here. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that he did this as well, but I know that there's some people that when they're mock drafting in this industrial complex that we have of the draft, some people will kind of do things that they're just, you know, they're going off of their scouting and what they think teams should have and what they should need
their opinion.
And their opinions.
Like, I think this.
And it's useful. It's important. I like it. However, I value greatly the dudes who also then take this to a level of I'm getting information, because then it feels a little bit more predictive in a different way. Because I think the mock draft exists as an opportunity for you to feel different, different iterations of what could happen. But I love the idea of getting an idea of the way the teams are thinking. And Bruce Feldman's one of those people that does that. Dane Brugler's another one that does that. There's some other folks in there. But Bruce Feldman put out, and this came out today, his 2025 mock draft, his fifth annual, in fact, that is based on the intel that he's gathered from talking to college coaches and NFL sources. And so I mean, we could bounce around this and maybe get a little bit of idea of what's happening around the league. But of course, I know where we want to start, huh?
Yeah.
It is at 25 with the Houston Texans.
This is intel.
This is intel. Now, I do wonder, before I even get there, how much intel do you think he's going to get here when it comes to the Texans, especially knowing that the Texans are pretty tight-lipped?
No, the Texans are, but I think every team, more so than anybody on the outside, kind of get a feel for which direction every team is leaning. And they do it deliberately. They do it through a number of sources because they want to know how the draft might fall to them. You know, they have three or four different scenarios. In fact, when we were talking about, you know, Caserio on the on Texans All Access earlier, that's one thing I didn't mention. He did mention that about, you know, we're sort of evaluating all the possibilities in 100%. Front of us. Well, that's not just his opinion.
No.
That's information that he's trying to cull and gather. You know,
So
this is very important in terms of maybe getting a little better insight on where the Texans are leaning or this team is leaning, et cetera, because they're getting it from sources in the league.
All right, so at 25, Houston is at 25 here. He didn't start doing trades.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pick that they have had that has been prominently mocked to them.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, do you guys want to guess who they have selecting, who Bruce has the Texans selecting?
Is it the most obvious, Gray Zabel?
It is not Gray Zabel, but you are right that they did not go wide receiver here.
Okay.
This is offensive line.
I'm trying to think.
There's one more that feels
Booker.
Obvious. It's not Booker.
Kelvin Banks.
It is Kelvin Banks, tackle for Texas. Yeah. I bring you to a segment that I like to call reading.
Okay.
With Laremy Tunsil off to Washington, Houston needs help at tackle. Let me pause there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? Because we've looked a lot at what's happening here on this offensive line where you have Cam Robinson on the left side. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the left tackle this year. It's pretty evident that that's there. The right side, I'm starting to wonder what's happening there because Blake Fisher, I think I've fallen back to the pack. We've had conversations about do you need to see more from Blake Fisher? You guys very much were in that place, to correct me if I'm wrong, where you were like, no, I still need to see more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially
absolutely.
For this year.
Mm-hmm. I was in a place where I was like, I thought I felt pretty good, but looking at some things yesterday, I was like, maybe I'm not as sold on Blake Fisher absolutely holding down right tackle. Maybe you tied his tower back there, but how, could you be interested in seeing Kelvin Banks at tackle?
Well, first, you asked, are we good with them at tackle?
Yes.
Yes. You didn't even mention Trent Brown.
I didn't, and I keep not mentioning Trent Brown.
On purpose.
Maybe not on purpose, but like pseudo purpose, because I don't know. I like of all of the additions that you brought in, that was just kind of like, he's one of those ones that's a little more to me, especially I feel like, and this is the wrong way to do this ranking, the most additions. When it comes to the offensive line, Ed Ingram's up there, and then Trent Brown's next for me, even though he's a big, massive dude that has a capability. I view him more as depth. Obviously, he'll push and, you know, give competition, but I view him more as depth.
I view him as a teacher's pet, and that gives him, and that gives him a big...
Damn.
Come on. I mean, we're being honest. I mean, I think, you know, he's here for a reason.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
He's here for a reason. It's not just his play. So I view him as a teacher's pet, and I think that gives him a little bit of an edge. So a little bit of a surprise that it's tackle, not necessarily. Although Kelvin Banks can play some guard.
Yes, and I think that's always been something that's been really interesting since I really like kind of dug into that. Mm-hmm. The idea that he could start at guard and kick out to tackle at some point with continued growth is interesting to me. That flexibility to try and get your best five on the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I continue my segment called Reading. There are a couple of intriguing options here at 25. Ohio State's Josh Simmons is exceptionally athletic, but still a bit raw, whereas Banks is more seasoned. 6'5", 315. Banks won the Lombardi Award in the Outland Trophy in 2024 after starting 15 games at left tackle. Despite winning some individual hardware, Banks has had his share of struggles in 24.
Mm-hmm.
Sources at Texas said that he was dealing with an ankle injury that he was playing through.
Mm-hmm.
UT folks speak highly of Banks' competitive maturity, which impressed them early in his career when he was matched against Alabama's Will Anderson and Dallas Turner. He more than held his own, which we know, right?
Yeah.
Like, The film of Will Anderson Jr. and being able to hold your own against him, I imagine, weighs heavily in that Texans organization. They love his ability to recapture his balance when he gets knocked off his center and can stay connected to the defender, displaying uncanny body control and core strength. Quote, I think he's more of a right tackle, but he has good feet and can anchor, an SEC defensive line coach said. He's a better run blocker than pass protector. And another person said, quote, I'm not as high on him as I think everybody else is. That's from a Power 4 defensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
He is skilled, but I didn't think he was great in space, close quote. So you have a positive and a negative there from the coaching or from the college coaching level. So with all of that there, what jumped out to you with Kelvin Banks?
With the experience. I think Nick Caserio loves him some SEC players. He loves him some guys that have a lot of experience, and he loves him some versatility. All of that is Kelvin Banks. All of it. So, yeah, I think it does. It kind of adds up. But I also don't know if he's even going to be in, you know, I know people have him mocked down to 20 to 25, 26 or whatever. Man, I think he could go higher. My own personal thoughts is, like, you know, he might not even be remotely, you know, a possibility for the Texans there.
He seemed to be around a lot in various mm-hmm. mocks, but that's a possibility. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that's been talked about this kind of tier of players
yeah.
in that late first round is that there's a lot of them, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, it really just varies on who you like. I talked a few times about yeah. Mike Tice having his ranking, and mm-hmm. of course he was ranking tackles as well, interestingly enough. But you look at even the tackles, or no, I think he ranked some offensive linemen because mm-hmm. I think Gray Zabel jumped up in there. But, like, the way that people love Gray Zabel, he was a little bit lower when he was talking about kind of his top five guys. Yeah. He loves Josh Connerly, who I have started to develop a little bit.
I've read a lot of him crush in the last week or so, and I'm with you on that, yeah.
And speaking of Josh Simmons, mind you, Bruce Feldman has Josh Simmons going immediately next to the Cleveland Browns after actually having them trade up. So he is doing trades here, but he had mm-hmm. the Texans standing pat, which I wonder what knowing that he is working off of some level of intel,
yeah.
what that means to you. But in speaking about Josh Simmons, he says, Buckeyes coach say that the 6'5", 317-pounder can run in the high 4.8s, low 4.9s, freaky athlete, vertical jump, high in the 30s, still raw, spent just 2 years in Columbus after transferring from San Diego State. Coaches believe he'd be top 10 if he'd remain healthy. So obviously talking a lot about that portion of it, and not very much about that, you know, kind of anonymous scout that had said that, you know, there's mm-hmm. there's some kind of maturity issues. Actually, Todd McShay had also said something similar there. So
I don't think that's going to be a go for the Texans.
So in an instance where yeah. you have, because those are the two kind of offensive line guys that are still there at that point, and mind you, Emeka Ibuka he has going to the Raiders at 32. So
he'd be on the board.
Emeka Ibuka on the board.
Who would be on
Simmons
the board?
Simmons on the
curious.
Board.
Like, let's say they do, the intel says that the Texans would be leaning that way, but the intel also says there would be some guys available there. Who are they?
Well, let me work in reverse here, because okay. Gray Zabel would be off the board at 23.
Okay.
That's a guy that I imagine you like. Interestingly enough, he has Colston Loveland falling to 22 mm-hmm. with the Chargers, and Colston Loveland seemed like he was a guy that was not going to fall all that far, although I believe he still has at 14 with the Colts, Tyler Warren. So they're still mm-hmm. going to be, it feels like that is guaranteed.
Yeah.
The Colts are going to come out of this first round. If mock drafts and all the intel's to be believed with the tight end that you're going to have to contend with,
mm-hmm.
because both of those guys are really good. But looking at it, Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon, would be gone off the table. That's one of those guys that maybe you look at. Obviously, one of the beloved guys that a lot of people mm-hmm. want would be Matthew Golden going to the Denver Broncos at 20. He would okay. also be gone. But that's close enough to move up if you were in love.
Yeah.
But it seems like those are the guys that would be gone. I think Donovan Jackson is still on the board. A guy that has been, you know, obviously mocked a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. To the Texans, a guard.
So they would pass on Jackson in this scenario.
Yes, but I think a lot of mocks mm-hmm. have had them passing on Jackson. Booker would still be on the table here as well, because he would not have been selected in this Bruce Feldman mock draft. Like, how do you like when you bring all these, and again, not a ton of names here, but mm-hmm. Emeka Ibuka, Josh Simmons, Connerly still on the board, tackle out of Oregon, Booker still on the board, the guard out of Alabama, all those being passed to make sure that you get the offensive tackle, but a guy who can slide into guard reasonably, mm-hmm. Kelvin Banks out of Texas.
Yeah, look, I think Connerly is getting a lot more attention. I think he also fits the mold of what the Texans like. Experienced, you know, a lot of snaps, big dude that can maybe play more than one position. So that would be an interesting one. And look, you know, as much as this is within the league, all the intel that they get, you know, they still have to filter through some BS too. You know, they still have to kind of figure it out. So it could still end up, you know, a wide receiver at some point in there, or maybe even an altogether different position.
Yeah. So There you go. That's the Bruce Feldman mock draft that came out from The Athletic that seemingly leans into a level of intel, although it seems to land in the same place that a lot of mock drafts are, where you know you add an offensive lineman, particularly a tackle. And from the 8-3-2, they said, we need help more with guard than with tackle. These mocks don't really know us. And I think that I feel you on that. I continue to look at the interior, especially with the messaging that D'Amico Ryans has been levying, right? The idea of inside, we want to block from the inside out. And that, you know, you have two guard spots that you want to get a lot better at. And the guards competition that you have is maybe Tytus Howard, but Laken Tomlinson, Ed Ingram, and then, you know, some of these younger guys that you have in there. It feels like, that feels like a great place to drop in an offensive lineman. But at the same time, and I know that tackles, like the tackle positions, we're starting to move a little bit away from the idea that they're so much more valuable in the interior line. However, they still are a more valuable position. And if you get a high level player, I don't know that you're set on any of these tackles. Like your tackle positions still feel relatively open for the next 2-3 seasons.
Not only that, but a lot of tackles start out somewhere else in the NFL. A lot of them, you know, start out at guard or whatever, or right tackle, and then go to left tackle. So yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, and of course, I'll mention for the third time that Kelvin Banks' ability to slide into guard early on has been mentioned a lot of times, and appealing to at least me personally.
Yeah.
There you go. In the loop, right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about the time where we do our lunchtime confessions, brought to you by the Men's Clinic. We will do those next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
These are my confessions.
All right, I know what you're thinking, Reggie.
How?
I know what you're thinking, Figgy.
There's no way.
So I'm about to play something from the... Well, Figgy's about to play it. I'm about to ask nicely for it.
There you go.
From the Giants broadcast.
You can come back here and play it if you want.
Well, that would be fun.
For who?
That would be fun.
For who would that be fun? We'd be off the air.
From a Giants broadcast against the Astros, obviously, and they referenced the Astrodome. Now, I know what you're thinking.
All right.
That I'm gonna say this is good that they're, spoiler alert, kind of torching the Astrodome, but they do it in very direct terms. But my confession before you hear it is, I don't feel good about this. In fact, this is the reason why I feel like the Astrodome should go away. Let me explain after you hear it.
It is a good ballpark. It's a good yard. And when they built this dome, so much better than the Astrodome.
Well, my bathroom was better than the Astrodome.
What a jerk.
It's funny.
What make your bathroom so nice, brother?
That's Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko, right? I believe is who that was. So people go, see, you know, Lopez is going to say, yeah, they need to get... No, this is why I want to get rid of it. Because you're tarnishing what was really a fantastic place. It truly was. This is... It's the edifice equivalent of...
The who? I'm not going to lie. I'm a little confused my damn self. Usually I hang
with... throwing too many big words at me. Okay, now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
It's the edifice equivalent of Willie Mays fumbling around in the outfield. Like, I want the Astrodome to go away, not because, not only because it's such a mess right now, but because you're tarnishing what it once was. Like, the memory, I've said it multiple times.
So, it's Shaq with the Celtics.
It's Shaq with the Celtics.
Yikes.
It's Akeem with the Raptors.
I'll never get that big old Raptor that was on his chest out of my head, bro. Like, it makes me so sad.
Yeah, I want it to be remembered for...
Maybe, you know, it could be Jordan with the Wizards.
Well, that wasn't good, because that knee was acting crazy for that man.
Hey, it wasn't good, but we don't ever talk about that. We always talk about Jordan with the Bulls.
I see what you're doing there.
So I know you might think I'm glad that they did this because it's another... No, it hurts me. You know, it hurts me. And that's why this building needs to go away.
Yeah, because where do you get off, dog?
Yeah. Edifice.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. You know what an edifice is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the facade or like the building, right?
Yeah. The shell.
But you did a little alliteration, edifice equivalent. I was like, hey, wait, hold on. Hold on.
These are my confessions.
All right, from your nerdery to my nerdery. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear a little audio. I'm also doing audio. I guess it's an audio.
How about that? It's an audio confession.
Put me to work, man.
Yeah. I guess so. This is from Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, a new head coach of the Chicago Bears. And I appreciate that finally, people are seeing it my way.
The way I understand it right now, from our analytics team, the EPA in the passing game is really one of the most critical factors in determining wins and losses right now. That's probably changed over the last 5 years or so. I would have said 5 years ago, turnovers, takeaways, that was number one. From what I understand now, that EPA for the passing game has now surpassed that. So whatever team has the higher passing game EPA at the end of the game, they generally win that game. It's over 80% of the time. So it's a huge stat, and that's where we look to how do we help inflate that number, higher completion percentage, more run after catch opportunities. That's not to say we're not going to take our shots down the field and look for big explosive plays, chunks or touchdowns that way, but there's a lot of ways we can get that done.
The dorks win.
God almighty.
The dorks win, baby.
First of all, you're throwing too many big words at me. Okay, now, because I don't understand them, I'm going to take them as disrespect.
I would have said that to Ben Johnson.
He was throwing a lot of words in there. But one of the things, like, outside of, like, the jokes of just, hey, there's EPA, I'm always super interested in, like, getting in the mind of, like, how do they make their decisions? Mm-hmm. And it is interesting to hear that at least the people that are on the cutting edge of this thing, and we'll see if they're ultimately right, mm-hmm. are now seemingly moving away from just, what's the turnover differential to EPA, which, to be fair, right, to turnovers, that factors into EPA. You throw a turnover, there's a big negative EPA. You're not adding points, right? Mm-hmm. EPA stands for estimated points average or whatever, what have you. Like, that's not going to add points to this. So, like, it's factored in. But it is good to know that, hey, if you're looking at this, that's the way you look at it. And he added a little nugget in there that I found to be interesting. Mm-hmm. He did talk about, you know, we're still going to take deep shots, but like when you're trying to add EPA, shorter completions and those types of things. And I was like, oh, I do wonder if that's going to be instructive in the way that offenses try and go about things, and maybe the ways that, I don't know, the Texans should try and go about things, especially if you're not going to have an offensive line that's incredible, that's going to hold up for all the deep shots that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an ability to get the ball out, quick game, getting that going, because we saw that happen in small spurts. But if you can do that more consistently, add the EPA up, at least let Ben Johnson tell it, that should lead to offensive success. So I was like, oh, I find that to be deeply, deeply interesting.
Yeah, you and Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen can dress up.
Hey, hold on. I see what you're doing.
You and Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen can dress up and go to Comic-Con to talk about it.
I was just I thought it was an interesting nugget. And you just had to paint glasses on my face.
I got to confess, I 100% agree with this tweet B. Scott tweeted last night. Mm-hmm. So I was watching the Astros game, and I ain't gonna lie, at some point I was like, man, am I wasting my time here, man? Because they ain't doing nothing offensively, and what do you know? They lost the game.
Yeah.
And they kind of had me towards the end where I'm like, maybe they could make them. Nope. They lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
And B. Scott tweeted this. And I think this was during the Astros game. He said, Astros got no motion right now.
None.
Rough watch so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after the game, he tweeted this. He said, they even made me miss the bulk of this epic Warriors-Grizzlies matchup with a vintage Steph performance. Actual sports cinema. I got to start making better choices.
Yeah, well.
I agree 100%. And I missed all of that game. When I seen that tweet, I'm like, oh, let me turn to this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the end when Steph was dapping people up and it was over. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I could have been watching this game.
No, look, you're not alone. I think that's where, you know, I said earlier, they look like they're waiting for someone else to do something. That's kind of in the same vein. It's like, this is not interesting. You know?
I'm like, man, I'm like, I didn't know that game was going on like that because I was zeroed in on the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even flipping around or nothing.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm like, oh, I missed that game. Man, I couldn't believe it.
You stayed up and watched Jokic, too.
Yeah. I went to bed. I probably would have missed that game. But no, I would have definitely watched this Steph game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the same boat, even though I was at a bar. Like, that was my bad, because I'm the dude that's always real hesitant to actually ask, hey, can you change the channel on one of these?
Yeah.
I probably should have, because having the Astros on one and then being able to see the game would have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
But and maybe that's why I have the multiple TVs at the house, so I don't have to ask nobody
to
change
it. You don't have to ask anybody but yourself.
Change them. But, you know, I decided to be social, and I missed out on a majority of the stuff.
But honestly, like, even, like, just Warriors-Grizzlies, I probably wouldn't have zeroed in on that game at all. Like, just seeing it.
But seeing what's happening.
But seeing what's happening, if I knew he was going off like that, I would have been like, bye, Astros. Like, I'll catch y'all sometime this week.
There's 160, 58, whatever left of these, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I was so dead, but I agree with B. Scott on that tweet. These are my
confessions. Nothing personal. Well, it is kind of personal. I hope UConn loses. The UConn women lose in the final four.
Hey, yo.
I hope they get
blown. Sound pretty personal to me.
I hope they get
Why
blown.
You hate Ozzie Fudd?
I actually like some of the players, but I hope they get blown out. And there's a reason for that. Gino Auriemma.
Fair.
I mean, well, that's a good enough.
That's all you got to say, man.
Yep.
But first of all, I call BS on his explanation you're about to hear, but I also feel like, how freaking unfair are you being to not just players, but assistant coaches, staff, trainers, managers? And what I'm leading to is they don't cut down the nets by making the Final Four like every other team does. That's beneath them. They're only cutting down the championship nets.
I know you guys haven't cut down the nets for Final Four or to go to the Final Four for a while. Is it since 2008? Is that correct? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I don't even know when it was that we've done it. I don't remember doing it, to be honest with you. We asked the players one time. I think that's how it happened. We asked the players all the time.
Oh, you think?
You know, they bring out a ladder. You guys want to cut down nets? And they always said no. So we never asked them anymore. We just didn't.
Just saving it for Tampa?
Yeah, I mean, we've cut down a bunch of those.
We've cut down a bunch of those.
Gotta admit, it's kind of saucy. He's like, look, man, we don't need to cut those down. We cut down the nets when they matter. I hear you, though. Like, I'm very much trying to get better at celebrate things when you get a chance. Life will kick you in the nards plenty. So celebrate things when you get a chance. Now move along and give yourself, you know, that freedom to lock back in and get the job done.
But there are managers, there are trainers, like from a Final Four team in 1987 that still have that little piece of net hanging in their office. You know, they never made it to the pros. He's cheating a lot of people in that program.
I agree with you on that, mm-hmm. but also I feel like they set the standard for mm-hmm. so many years.
They sure do.
Where if you go in there, you're the standard was almost you're winning the national championship if yeah. you are here. Mm-hmm. So I kind of understand why he is not cutting down all of these nets. Mm-hmm. But still, from your point, though, I do think that kind
of
sucks.
You're cheating a lot of people.
Because they don't win the championship every year.
They don't. Not anymore.
yeah. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, these are my confessions.
I wonder if he's still asking the players. All right.
I call BS on that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I actually don't know which of us. Well, I know which of us probably is the least likely to do this, but I don't know which of us we'd be the most likely to be like this guy, who is a Ford executive, mm-hmm. literally the Ford Motor Company, mm-hmm. who recently retired after 32 years at Ford. And I'm not just telling you about some executive that retired to tell you that. Apparently, this man named Mike O'Brien emailed a few hundred of his colleagues to let him know that he was retiring. Mm-hmm. And attached to the email was a spreadsheet that detailed a few thousand violations committed by his coworkers over the year. And it was verbal flubs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Things that
said... That's a great idea.
Things that... See, I figured it was John, but I was like, I'm not really certain, but
that's
I feel like John would be the dude who would do this. Mixed metaphors and malaprops and things like that.
Can
right?
you forward that to me?
No, go find it yourself. I'm not aiding and abetting this. Yes, a colleague that says, let's not reinvent the ocean something like, or, you know, moving. Yeah. Things of that nature. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of it. Right. He said we weren't being mean. It was just funny. However, and I'll show you the picture. He started with one time someone said something. He went and wrote it on his whiteboard.
He had a list.
Look
at that.
He has multiple whiteboards filled with these verbal flubs. And then when he retired, he sent everybody a copy of it.
This guy's my hero.
I know. I know. And the thing that I got to tell you before we go here, mm-hmm. you should not be proud of that.
I'm so proud.
I don't want you to be proud of that.
I want to keep away from that person.
100%. Like, you got to realize.
It's no fun.
This doesn't make people want to spend more time around you. I just want you to know that.
Build a statue of that
guy. I actually hate that guy.
Damn it.
I don't even know that guy, and I hate that guy.
Damn it. I feel bad because Sally says she loves him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sally, yeah. Come on.
Sally, that, you're good people, Sally.
Don't do that.
We're going to have to block you, Sally.
No, not the block.
I'm just playing.
All right. So before the block comes, let's go ahead.
That guy's a legend. Build a statue.
And absolutely not. Yeah. All right. Those are our Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. Damn, how did I get hate for trying to acknowledge the fact that, hey, Ben Johnson's coming with some new age, new age vision on offense, and maybe that helps the Texans? Nope. You were like, you're a dork. All right. Very good. Coming up. Next, ESPN put together some contender tiers, and I was kind of interested on where they have the Astros. Do you agree? We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. The Astros have been, what's the right adjective to use here? Because I wanted to use frustrating,
man,
but that's not fooling. There is a level of frustration, especially looking at the way that the bats have been quiet. Mm-hmm. Although I was talking to you guys and I should have made this a confession, or I thought about making this a confession. I probably shouldn't be all that surprised about the bats being relatively quiet, because didn't nobody really hit in spring besides Jeremy Pena mm-hmm. and then Cam Smith and Zach DiCenzo. And Cam Smith, I mean, not as much Zach DiCenzo, but Cam Smith is like, all right, you're coming up to the majors where now major league pitchers are going to try and find holes in your bat and your approach. So that, I mean, kind of expected. I'm like, I don't know. What did I expect offensively from these Astros right off the bat? I'm guessing not everybody to be cold. But regardless, I think that might shade the way that we view this to some degree. However, I mean, it definitely did when I opened this up yesterday looking at various things. And ESPN.com put together their World Series contenders tiers. Mm-hmm. And I love tiers as opposed to a straight list. I've talked about this.
Yeah, I'm the same boat.
It's kind of nice, right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes you get into a tier where you're like, hey, this team is above that team. But they could switch depending on things. They're just in that same grouping.
Right.
And that matters a lot more. So I see a tier list and I'm interested mm-hmm. in what's happening there. But with World Series contenders, the tiers I found to be interesting. And we start at the very top, as is probably a reasonable place to start. Who do you think is in a tier alone by themselves?
That would be your Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's right. That's right. Like, they have a 28% chance.
Are they 7-0?
of being.
That's a good question. They were 6-0 though last time I checked.
I think they're 7-0.
It might be.
Yeah,
they're looking high.
They are indeed 7-0.
Man,
and they put up 39 runs, which is second to, only to I believe the obviously Yankees. New York Yankees mm-hmm. with them bats and such.
Hell, they should be 7-0. All the money they and yeah. people they've been getting.
That's right. That's right.
I'm still disappointed. They should be. They should. Had more games won, and they didn't even play all the
even
games.
If they've only played 7, they should have won 8.
At this point.
They should win every game this year. Yeah.
Do you think that it's fair that they're in a league yes. by themselves when it comes to tiers?
Yes,
yeah.
They just they have a ton of talent, right? It's been together.
They've been healthy.
Healthy.
They won last year.
They won last year. They've been healthy, all that.
They have a crazy percentage chance to win the championship, mm-hmm. and their win average is supposed to be like a 102. Like, mm-hmm. we're looking at potentially 100-win team, supposedly. All right. Tier 2.
I'm not looking. I'm just scrolling after you tell us.
Tier 2, which is entitled Their Time Could Be Now, has 1, 2, 3, 4,
Ooh.
5, 6, Ooh. 7 teams in this tier. First and foremost, do you think that's too many teams for Their Time Could Be Now?
Maybe not. I mean, you know, if you personally, I don't think it's necessarily unfair because the Yankees have been injured a lot. They already have a lot of injuries, I should say, and even though they're torpedoing their way to the top, they're still, you know, had some struggle. No, I think that's fair.
All right, so the other two tiers outside of this one, or three tiers actually. So I mentioned the Dodgers the top. Mm-hmm. Their Time Could Be Now is the second tier. The third tier, which is after that, we're saying that they have a chance. Which has a good grip of teams in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth tier, that's the third tier, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a fourth tier, and the very bottom tier is there a couple years away, right?
Right.
All right.
So the second tier is intriguing to me because I don't think, you said 7 teams?
There are 7 teams.
I don't think the Astros are one of them.
So you think that they'd be in the tier after that? We're saying that they have a chance.
Yeah.
That's what I would have thought as well,
mm-hmm.
especially with the season that we've had to start with. They're in the second tier.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Their time could be now with the Braves, which I wonder how that shifts.
Well, they're stinking it up.
And they're, you know, they're missing an outfielder for a good half of the season.
Oh, that's in right.
And Profar. So, yeah. I do wonder how that also affects them before you get to injuries and all those types
Braves
of things.
Braves haven't won a game. They haven't won a game.
That is real tough. That's a real tough position to be yeah. in there. Especially in an NL East that's not going to be easy
mm-hmm.
to work out of. So, yeah, but more power to them, I guess, right? Yankees, obviously, they're in this space. The way that they've started out, you might even consider moving them up. The Mets, and we saw the way that, mm-hmm. you know, their offense and really their pitching was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Orioles, the Astros came in fifth here. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, sixth here, above the Rangers. And I imagine that this is, you know, you put this out. Where you put this together
right.
before the season because the Rangers have started out really hot in a mm-hmm. weird, interesting way. And then the Phillies round out. But the Astros are in here with the state of the franchise obviously being that there's been some decline and mm-hmm. last year's win total was the lowest that has been since 2016. But in the minor league system, all that, they basically came from, it's not over yet, but this is kind of the end of the year, almost like this is your last grasp at trying to go and win it.
I'm a little bit confused on a couple of things there. Braves number one, frankly the Astros, you know, based on, you know, just the start, and you know they do have to have some adjustments to make. No, everybody's talking about how it's hurt. And the Padres aren't in there.
They have the Padres in the
awesome
saying they have a chance. But you know what the tough thing about the Padres is? Mm-hmm. I think that's happening there. The Padres are looking. They're in an NL or sorry, yeah, an NL West mm-hmm. where you have one team that's going to win up.
I don't think the Padres have lost yet either.
One team's going to win up all the games. The Diamondbacks are always an interesting team in the West as well.
Dodgers 7-0, Padres 6-0.
Sure. I mean, like, yeah. It started out well for them, but mm-hmm. I think over the entirety of the season, that's going to be something that you have to watch. Is like, you know, you're not winning a division. The way that the Dodgers are going to go.
Fair.
What does the wild card look like? What is the path then that you have to traverse after that? But yeah, mm-hmm. it does feel like they should at least be in that second tier. But yeah, the mm-hmm. Astros, I guess.
You can't say the Astros are not getting respect. Because that's only respect. Because that's a very recent list, right?
I mean, they put it out yesterday, but I do wonder.
That's fair enough.
I wonder if this was like they started this and they put this together without considering how the season has started.
They still would update it, et cetera. No, I think the Astros are getting a lot of respect on that.
Yeah, just going into this season, that show you how much respect they was getting. Yeah. I think they're just going to be in the tier two part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, it started kind of tough, and I do wonder how this would change. As again, five games is only but so much, right?
Yeah.
Like the five games is only but so much to be able to hinge this off of. Mm-hmm. But let's do the thing where, in some ways, we overreact, right? I want to take this to Framber Valdez, who is starting today, mm-hmm. by mind you.
We have the lineup.
The lineup is out. Altuve still leading off. He's DHing. Yordan getting his first time, assignment in left for the day. DeZenzo will be your right fielder. Brendan Rodgers is your second baseman again. They're really leaning into the Brendan Rodgers. He is the second baseman. Mm-hmm. He's at the top of that platoon or what have you. And Dubon is coming in as utility and bouncing around, which I find to be interesting. And then center field is Chaz McCormick, which is interesting as well, because that seems like they very quickly moved away from Jake Myers kind of carrying a majority of the load. Although that's the way it feels. We'll see how it goes with more time. But if your offense doesn't come around, this is a question you asked early on. Mm-hmm. If your offense does not come around, what is this team? And I was like, you're SOL.
Yeah.
If you're like near the midway point of the season, considering also what happened last year and mm-hmm. you're sub 500 and it's stagnating.
Yeah.
You have to consider trading Framber Valdez, right? Especially considering you haven't gotten an extension done.
Did you hear what they said about it?
They have not even really broached the subject of having an extension being done. Like,
that's a mistake.
You're getting ready to, he's getting ready to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like they trying to see how the season gonna go,
mm-hmm.
and if the season is not really going well, then trade deadline type of deal.
Look, and if you think, oh no, they won't do that. Where have you been the last 7 years? I mean,
Could do anything. Anybody on the table.
Where have you been?
And then you go back to Max Fried getting that big mm-hmm. deal. Like Framber is going to get paid.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this organization is going to have the stomach to pay him. And I mean, you would have imagined at least they would have had some of the extension conversations if they were kind of in that mindset mm-hmm. to have the stomach to pay him. It's not like Framber needs to prove something this year. I feel like that's something that they should do. I don't think it's something that they would, though.
What, trade him?
If your season is kind of...
Oh, I think this is a year where they would. I do. You know, there. Keep in mind, there were heavy, heavy rumors and reports about Kyle Tucker last year, this past season. You know, about you know, maybe trading for him.
And I hear you, and you're not wrong.
It's the same situation.
And it was important that they made that trade. You have Cam Smith, you have Isak Paredes. I know they haven't really, you know, done a lot to this point. Understood. Hayden Wesneski got out there. He looked solid enough as a fifth starter. You got that value back, but still.
No, I'm talking about before the trade deadline.
No, I understand. But eventually, I'm saying just the trade that they ultimately made.
Yeah.
Then you look at all the other talent that they did not ultimately trade that they let walk out the door.
Right.
The MO is more that use them and then mm-hmm. you can go in free agency and we'll try and recruit whatever compensatory type
things we can get on the back end. It's crazy, too, because I feel like they're so confident in finding these pitchers that nobody else was looking at.
Yeah.
So maybe they like, hey, next man up. Mm-hmm. We ain't got to pay this man a whole boatload of money.
Yeah.
Like, we could just have Hunter Brown step up and be the ace.
And he has. He's looking like he is. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing the pixie dust land again mm-hmm. with him. And this is way too early, right? You're five games in.
Right.
You have your sixth today. But you got me thinking, like, if you end up in this spot, that's something that I feel like you absolutely have to do, because also talking about the window closing and the mm-hmm. farm, you just have to recoup, because if you just let him walk, I don't know where you are to continue to like pry open a window or, you know, retool or what have you.
Yeah. No, I think he's probably more likely than most to actually get traded at this point, because they understand we're prying the window open. We're trying to keep it open, but it's not going to stay open forever. I mean, it's not going to stay open maybe two more years at the most, right? You know, depending on what Altuve, how he ends up and, you know, some of these other things. And they already are transitioning away from Bregman, away from Tucker, away from Correa, away from Springer, away from everybody, you know, Presley. So it's going to close. They've done a terrific job kind of prying it open. But I think they're at the point now where, like, okay,
Yeah, I want. Yeah, I wonder if they're planning like a hey, let's the window will close maybe for like a year or two, and then let's let's retool, and then we'll be strong again for another 8 years with this young talent, Cam Smith, and whatever prospects you get.
But of course, that's we're way out. Early on this, there's still a lot of
early guys.
There's still a lot of baseball to be played.
There is a lot of baseball left.
There is.
Yeah, still a lot of baseball to be played even before you get into any like assumptions about what this team is. But that you asked that question and it got me thinking.
Yeah,
but not right now. The thing that you got to consider is how you can get these bats going for some of these guys. And I'll return. Actually, you know what? We don't have time. I was like, I wanted to go to Joe Espada because Joe Espada had talked about the approach that these guys have had, and I do wonder in some ways. If the approach that they've had, like the attempt to try and be more disciplined at the plate, is maybe kind of keeping the bats low, relatively quiet. Because we talked about Yordan and some of the ways in which he's had some meaty pitches that he's kind of kept the bat on the shoulder for. I do wonder if that's him just trying to like really hold himself back in some of those instances, as opposed to just being aggressive in some ways. We'll see if there's an adjustment made today as they finish out their homestand here in Game 3 against the Giants. Of course, Framber Valdez on the mound here at, was it 3?
3 o'clock.
There you go. Okay. At Daikin Park. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Rockets had to have watched what was a wild night of basketball and looked at all those teams. And I imagine that they have some level of idea of who they would and would not want to face in the first round. Who do you want the Rockets to face or not face in the first round? 713-572-4610 is the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. Text in and we'll talk about it. Next.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.